Viking, committed to exploring the world in comfort. Journey through the heart of Europe on an elegant Viking longship with thoughtful service, cultural enrichment, and all-inclusive fares. Discover more at Viking.com.
The United States mulls easing sanctions on Venezuela, plus in-person shopping is back, big time, and high energy costs in the United Kingdom are forcing businesses to close at a record rate.
So everything from pubs, bookstores, fish and chip shops, small retail stores on Main Street, all of these have been closing in large numbers.
It is Thursday, October 6th. I'm Peter Granitz with the Wall Street Journal, and here's the AM edition of What's News, the top headlines and business stories moving your world today. We begin with grim news in Thailand. Authorities there say at least 30 people have been killed and many more wounded after a former police officer opened fire at a child care center. Police say the suspect was fired from the service because of drug connections. They did not release more details. You can read more as the story develops at WSJ.com. We are exclusively reporting that the United States is considering easing sanctions on the Venezuelan government. The plan, according to people familiar with the matter, would allow Chevron to resume pumping oil there. That oil could potentially flow to the United States and European markets. In exchange, the Venezuelan government would resume long-suspended discussions with the opposition about holding free and fair elections in 2024. The U.S. and Venezuelan governments and some members of the Venezuelan opposition have also discussed freeing up hundreds of millions of dollars frozen in U.S. banks. Talks between the countries have been ongoing since March, but the sources said the deal could still fall through. Venezuela's state oil company and its information ministry did not respond to detailed emails seeking comment. Chevron did not comment on the proposed deal. Leaders from across Europe will gather in Prague today for the inaugural meeting of the European Political Community. It's the brainchild of French President Emmanuel Macron, and it includes countries that are not EU members. Wall Street Journal Europe reporter Lawrence Norman says, unlike the Organization for Security and Cooperation in Europe, it excludes Russia.
They will talk about some stuff that is really very much relevant right now and relevant for the whole continent. One of them is energy. And energy security. That's a problem that the UK is facing as well as the EU, as well as the candidate countries to the EU, as well as Russia's neighbors, which include, in this case, at this meeting, Armenia and Azerbaijan will be at the gathering.
Saudi Arabia's sovereign wealth fund raised $3 billion from a bond sale Wednesday. As the Wall Street Journal's Anna Hertenstein says, the public investment fund issued bonds of 5, 10, and 100-year maturities.
Recently, 100-year bond issues have really been about locking in ultra-low interest rates for a long time. But of course, we're in a really different environment now with rising interest rates. So this raised a few eyebrows.
But some investors said the bonds, which are green bonds, were priced cheaply. The proceeds must fund green projects such as renewable energy programs in Saudi Arabia, the world's largest oil exporter. And gas prices in the U.S. are rising again. Regular gasoline averaged about $3.83 Wednesday, according to Opus, an energy data firm that is part of Dow Jones & Company. Dow Jones publishes the Wall Street Journal. Analysts said maintenance at refineries from Ohio to Washington contributed to the 14 consecutive day increase in prices, but they said drivers are unlikely to once again need to pay $5 a gallon. More retail stores, that is actual brick and mortar, opened last year than closed. That is the first time that has happened since 1995. And it is not the only stat that shows that retail real estate is back. For more, we are joined by Wall Street Journal reporter Kate King. She covers the retail real estate industry and joins us from New York. Hi.
Hi.
Thank you for being here, and thanks for helping us understand a bit about this. We should begin by saying that we are talking about retail space, not office space. What's going on? What's causing all this growth?
Well, one of the big things that's causing growth in retail real estate right now is that growth stopped, finally, after a long time. The building of new retail real estate exceeded population growth by 4 to 6 times for decades. And then after the great financial crisis, builders really stopped building retail real estate for the last dozen years. And so this constriction to the supply has helped. Now that demand for more retail space is picking up, it's helping, and you're seeing that reflected in rising rents and falling vacancies.
I turned to online shopping for just about everything during the pandemic. Is this a sign that people are shifting away from online retail, e-tail, as the pandemic fades?
Well, people at the beginning of the pandemic really did buy almost everything online. But what we saw is that fairly quickly, the jump in online sales as a proportion of total retail sales fell back down. So it's still higher than before the pandemic. People are still shopping online more than they did before 2020, but it's really clear that people are going back to stores. And so that's really giving landlords and retailers faith that bricks and mortar is here to stay.
Is this happening across the retail industry, or is it a specific element of retail?
The overall retail sector is really strong. Grocery-anchored retail, meaning shopping centers that have grocery stores, are particularly popular right now because they bring in a lot of foot traffic throughout the week. And shopping centers that have really popular retailers like Target or discount retailers are doing really well. Drive-through properties are also popular right now, and high-end malls. There's some areas of retail that are struggling, particularly in urban areas with a lot of office space. When people aren't going to the offices frequently, they're also not going to the shops near those offices. And of course, low-end malls that have a lot of vacant space are really in trouble right now.
For the people who are putting money into these new investments, is the timing kind of bad? I mean, with interest rates rising right now, rising inflation, and a lot of fears about recession.
Of course, the economic turmoil is concerning, but I think it depends on whether you're able to get financing to buy a property. And certainly that's harder now than it was at the beginning of the year. But a lot of investors are looking at these types of properties as long-term investments. And they're also seeing that consumer sentiment is still pretty good and people are still buying things, even as inflation ticks up.
That is reporter Kate King. Thanks for being here.
Thank you.
Coming up, Russia's war against Ukraine is putting companies out of business in the United Kingdom. From pubs to fish and chip shops, rising energy costs are forcing a record number of businesses to shutter. That's after the break.
NetSuite by Oracle brings accounting, finance, inventory, and HR into one proven platform, helping you reduce costs everywhere. Backed by popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Head to netsuite.com/wallstreet.
Thousands of businesses across the United Kingdom are closing up shop. More than 250,000 of them, reports the government's Office of National Statistics. They are buckling under the pressure of high energy prices and the increasing cost of many other goods, and consumers feel less sure about things, so demand is down. Those inflationary pressures are a direct result of Russia's war against Ukraine. Trevor Moss is a reporter in the Journal's London Bureau, and he joins us now. Welcome.
Hello.
Good to have you here. Trevor, more than 250,000 businesses have stopped operating. That is just striking. Has it ever been this bad before?
It hasn't. That is a record. It's just to put it in context, that's about 40% more than we saw in the first half of 2019 before the pandemic. So clearly, businesses in the UK are failing at a record rate. We don't have the data for the third quarter yet, but clearly it seems that a lot more companies failed during that period.
What types of businesses are we talking about?
We're mainly talking about small businesses. They're very sensitive to rising costs and to falls in local demand. So everything from pubs, bookstores, fish and chip shops, small retail stores on Main Street, all of these have been closing in large numbers.
And why? What is it in particular that is causing them to close, and small ones in particular?
Well, these companies are really facing a double whammy. As you said, we're seeing a lot of rising costs. Partly that's surging energy bills. That's a direct result of the war in Ukraine. And we're also seeing raw materials of all kinds increasing as well. That's put a lot of pressure on these companies. But another problem they're really facing now is the slump in consumer confidence in the UK. Ordinary people are facing the same pressures that these companies are. They feel that they can't afford the things they could before. So they're reining in their spending. And that's really killing a lot of these small businesses.
Trevor, businesses, of course, rely on workers. Is there concern about increased unemployment because of this?
Unemployment isn't the big problem that the UK is facing right now, and the employment rate is actually quite high. The real problem people are facing, even people with jobs, are, you know, it's the cost of living. They just can't make ends meet the way they could before. Of course, that has a knock-on effect to the economy, consumers spending less. So ultimately, we could see employment falling. But really, that's not the top of mind right now. It's the cost of living that everyone is really struggling with.
Is the UK likely to be the first in this situation? Do you think other European countries are going to follow suit?
The war in Ukraine has triggered a cost of living crisis across Europe. It's not just in the UK. Other European countries are facing similar pressures, but I think the effects are hitting the UK hardest. Why is that? Well, for one thing, the UK is especially dependent on gas for household energy, very exposed to that. And of course, Russia's attack on Ukraine produced a surge in gas prices. And another issue that is unique to the UK is, of course, Brexit. That's made it harder for the UK to trade with the rest of Europe. And that increases the pressure on the country now that the economy is struggling.
How are the businesses that are continuing to operate, how are they coping right now?
Businesses that are still operating are doing what they can to cut costs. A lot of them have been reducing headcount, changing suppliers, changing as much as they can to try and reduce costs. And they're all, you know, gearing up, especially retailers, they're all gearing up for the Christmas period, hoping that that will really rescue them. But some worrying research there that Christmas spend could be down by as much as a quarter in the UK this year because people are reining in their discretionary spending. And if that happens, there's only so much companies can do to change things. You know, in the end, they still need to get consumers to spend money.
Trevor Moss is a reporter in the London Bureau. Thanks for your time.
Thank you.
And finally, why is everyone suddenly just pounding energy drinks on the way to work or the gym or even school? Energy drink sales in the United States were 17% higher in August compared to last year and up 56% since the summer of 2019, according to analytics firm Nielsen IQ. Could be because some of the newer brands tout more vitamins and less sugar. And Wall Street Journal consumer trends reporter Rachel Wolf says there are more reasons too.
Part of that might be because people are already drinking so many more iced beverages. Between 60 and 70% of all Starbucks sales are iced, even in the winter. And so some of the analysts I spoke to said that the jump from an iced coffee to an energy drink is smaller. They also taste better than maybe the Red Bull or Monster that you think of in the past, more like a flavored sparkling water, the consumers I spoke to said. And so I think that's really helping people incorporate them more into their day-to-day life as well.
For the record, I have never had an energy drink. And that's what's news for Thursday morning. We'll be back tonight with a new show. I'm Peter Granitz with the Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.
What do the most successful growing businesses have in common? They're working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.